right. Well, I suspect you probably know what I'm going to say next, so prepare yourselves and turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. It is, in fact, the next to the last portion, Parsha, in the book of Devarim, or Deuteronomy, chapter 32. And, of course, the Parsha name is Ha'atzinu, because that is the first two words. And understand that this is the final song, the second, if you will, of the songs of Moses. And literally, in the next portion, Moses is fixing to join with the fathers and depart this mortal coil. He's going to die. So these are things that he's going to remind people and sing about literally just shortly before his death. And it goes like this. Give ear, so there's Ha'atzinu, you heavens, Hashemayim, and I'll speak, and let the earth, Ha'aretz, hear the words of my mouth. And note that that is that the root word there is Shema, too. My doctrine shall drip or drop as the rain. My speech will distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender grass, as the showers upon the earth. For I will proclaim Hashem Yahuwah, the name of Yahuwah. Ascribe you greatness unto our El, the rock, Hatzur. So there's the word, the rock. And this has always interested me a little bit because, remember, Moshe is singing a song shortly before his death, and it was the rock, and he knows it, that got him into trouble. So, some translations will note that there is a similar root here to the word creator. So the rock, the creator, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, an Elohim of faithfulness, and without iniquity, just and right is he. Is corruption his? No. His children's is the blemish, a generation crooked and perverse. Do you thus requite, O Yahuwah, O foolish people? Or do you requite Yahuwah, O foolish people and unwise? Isn't he your father that has gotten you? Has he not made you and established you? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he'll declare unto you. Your elders, they will tell you. When the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the children of men, he set the borders of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. So this looks like a reference to the size of the tribes and the borders that are now going to be, as they enter the land, the people that are hearing the song. For the portion of Yahuwah is his people, Yaakov, the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, in the waste, a howling wilderness. He compassed him about. He cared for him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle that stirs up her nest, hovers over her young, spreading abroad her wings, taking them, bearing them on her pinions, so Yahuwah alone did lead him. There was no strange Elohim with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, and he did eat the fruitage of the field. And he made him to suck honey out of the crag and oil out of the flinty rock. And that's kind of an interesting metaphor for now, isn't it? Because we have shale oil and lots of references to that. I hadn't thought about this much in the floor, but to suck oil out of the flinty rock. Curd of kine, milk of sheep, fat of lambs, and rams of the breed of Bashan, and he-goats with the kidney fat of wheat and of the blood of the grape. You drank foaming wine. But, he says, Jeshurun. Now that seems to be its first use of that word, another reference to Yaakov and the sons of Yaakov, waxed fat and kicked. You did, in fact, wax fat, he said. You did grow thick. You became gross. And he forsook Elohim who made him, and condemned the rock of his salvation, Yeshua Tov. They roused him to jealousy with strange gods, and they provoked him with abominations. They sacrificed unto demons, no gods, gods that they did not know, new gods that came up late, which your fathers did not have any fear of. Of the rock, and that word again, it's Zur, that begot you, you were unmindful. You forgot Elohim that bore you. And Yahuwah saw, and he spurned because of the provoking of his sons and daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them, and I'll see what their end will be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom there is no faithfulness. And here it is again. Now notice this is one of those interesting metaphors that we're going to see again. Turns out Paul uses it in Romans as well. They have roused me, he says, to jealousy That word there is kana, with a no god, a god that's not a god at all, no real Elohim. They have provoked me with their vanities, and I will rouse them to jealousy with Be'lo'am, with something which is not a people. I'll provoke them with a vile nation. That too sounds like something that Paul is going to talk about later. For a fire is kindled in my nostril, and it burns into the depths of the netherworld and devours the earth with her produce, sets ablaze the foundations of the mountains. I will heap evils upon them. I'll spread mine arrows upon them, the wasting of hunger, the devouring of the fiery bolt, the bitter destruction, and the teeth of beasts will I send upon them, with the venom of crawling things of the dust. Without, in other words, on the outside, the sword will bereave, and in the chambers there'll be terror, slaying both young man and virgin, the suckling, along with the man of gray hairs. I thought I would make an end of them. I would make their memory cease from among men. Were it not that I dreaded the enemy's provocation, lest their adversaries should misunderstand, and they should say, our hand is exalted, and not Yahuwah that has wrought all of this. Because they are a nation void of counsel. There is no understanding in them. And with that, folks, he could be talking about lots of nations, especially today, right? If they were wise, they'd understand this. They'd have figured this out. They would discern their latter end. After all, he says, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except that their rock, their Zur, had given them over, and that Yahuwah had, in fact, delivered them up? For their rock is not as our rock. And we have different words that are used here. Even our enemies themselves are judges. So this is kind of a... I guess you could say there's a little bit of a Hebrew play on words there, but what he's saying is they have different rocks, and they're not to be confused with the one that has the meaning of creator, and that it is the, in fact, same rock that Moshe ran afoul of, and that is referenced throughout Scripture. Their vine, he says, it is in fact the vine of Sodom, and the fields, they're like Gomorrah. The grapes, they're grapes of gall, their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the venom of Nakashim, and the cruel poison of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me, sealed up in my treasuries, he asks? Vengeance is mine, and recompense, against the time when their foot will slip. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that are to come upon them shall make haste. For Yahuwah will judge his people, and repent himself for his servants when he sees that their stay is gone, that there's none remaining, either shut up or at large. And it is said, where are their gods, their fake gods, the rock in whom they trusted, who ate the fat of their sacrifices, who drank the wine of their drink offering? Well, let that one rise up and help you. Let him be your protection. Now, see, he says, see that I, even I, am he. There is no God with me. I kill, and I make alive. I have wounded, and I heal. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven, and say, as I live forever, if I whet my glittering sword, and my hand takes hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies, and I will recompense them that hate me. Wow. I like I said, every time I read some of these prophecies and I think about the context of where we are today, when we are today, the things that we're seeing today, and literally how much of this world, how much of the fake governments of the world, but especially the swamp critters, how they hate him. They despise his word. They hate the living one true creator of the universe. They see themselves as superior. What does he say? I will recompense them that hate me. I'll make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, with the blood of the slain and the captives from the long-haired heads of the enemy. Sing aloud, he continues, O you nations, of his people, for he does avenge the blood of his servants, and does render vengeance to his adversaries, and he makes expiation for the land of his people. And Moses came, it says, and he spoke all of the words of this song in the ears of the people. He, along with Hoshea, son of Nun. And when Moshe had made an end of speaking all these words to Israel, then he said to them, set your heart unto all the words wherewith I testify against you this day. Remember how just about a couple Torah portions back, chapter 30, I called heaven and earth as witness against you. See, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Set your heart, he says, unto all the words that I testify against you this day, that you may charge your children with them to observe to do. There's that word shema again, the root word shema, to do all the words of HaTorah. No, not the law, this instruction. For this is no vain thing for you. It is, in fact, your life. And through this thing, in other words, obedience to this instruction, through this you shall prolong your days upon the land when you go over the Jordan to possess it. Notice, they did for a while, and then they didn't. And they were, in fact, exiled, as we indeed still are. And Yahuwah spoke to Moshe that self same day, and he said the following, get yourself up to this mountain of Abarim, up to Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, over against Jericho, and behold the land of Canaan, in other words, scope it out, which I give unto the B'nai Israel, the children of Israel, for a possession. And he says, die there in the mount that you go up to, and be gathered unto your people, just as Aaron your brother died in Mount Hor and was gathered unto his people. He's going to remind him one more time. I don't have any doubt that Moshe remembers this, but I guess we need the reminder too. Because, he says, you trespassed against me in the midst of the B'nai Israel at the waters of Meribath Kadesh, there in the wilderness of Zin, because you did not sanctify me in the midst of the B'nai Israel. Too much is given, much is expected. No doubt, Moshe is being held to a high standard. For you shall see the land from afar off, but you will not go in there into the land which I give to the B'nai Israel. And there, folks, the chapter and the Torah portion, and almost, but not quite, the life of Moshe ends.